The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First time joined by the President of the Law Reform Commission, Frank Clark, former Chief Justice, of course. You're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for coming in. You're calling for a new statutory body to deal with compensation for the victims of crime. Just to be clear where we're starting from, how does the system work at the moment?
At the moment, there's what's called an administrative scheme. There's no underlying law. It's just the government provides some money. It provides people to make adjudications. That system has been there since the 70s. Originally, it did allow for compensation for injury as well as financial loss. But during the hard times of the 1980s, that was cut back. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, it only provides for financial loss. So you lose wages because you're out of work as a result of being injured in a violent crime, or you have additional medical costs. You can get compensation for that. And indeed, the family of a deceased victim, a murder victim, for example, can get compensation for the loss of whatever income that person would have provided.
So is the system not working then as it's currently set up?
Well, I think there is a major problem, which is that the European Court recently in the Blanco case decided that our system wasn't compliant with the European Victims Directive. So whatever has to happen, there has to be change because Ireland is in breach of its obligations under European Union law. And the problem that was identified there in the Blanco case was the very point I've just mentioned, the fact that in the current scheme, you cannot get compensation for an injury. You can only get compensation for a financial loss of some sort. And the European Court held that that was incompatible with European Union law. So the state's going to have to change it anyway. The question is, how is it best to do that? And I think the Law Reform Commission's view is that putting it on a statutory basis where there's a clear legal obligation of the state is the best way to go. And also, I think there's some other important elements to it. We did a very widespread consultation, including with many victims' groups. And one of the things that really came over to me from that consultation was that a lot of victims, firstly, I think a lot of people don't even know about the scheme, to be quite honest. And secondly, a lot of victims found it hard to navigate the system. And one of the things we're recommending is that as part of this statutory scheme, there should be what we've called an assistive tier, i.e. people who would help the person present their case properly.
Yeah, I read that with interest. And also that there would be trauma-informed support. Mm. And how would that work if you have an organisation, a statutory body, making an objective decision about compensation, but also supporting the person through the process?
I think the idea is we'd have two very different groups of people. The people who would be part of the assistive tier would do that help, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't be involved in making the objective decision. There would then be adjudicators who would make the objective decision when the case got to them, as it were. But it probably would even make it more efficient, I think, because anecdotally one hears people put in an application and then they're told they haven't got the right documentation, they haven't put in the right supporting materials, and it gets delayed. I think if you have an assistive tier, when it gets to the person who has to make the objective decision, it should be all...
They'll have everything there
they need, at least in the vast majority of cases.
And how will the level of awards be decided? Because it's quite simple at the moment. You know, if you missed work for 2 weeks, we know what you're down.
Sure, absolutely. And we're proposing that continues, whatever financial loss you've suffered, you're to recover. Perhaps it's not right for a former judge to say it, but the European Court sometimes isn't very clear about what exactly it means. And there's a rather cryptic comment in the judgment of the court in Blanco that says that the compensation should have regard to what you would recover in a court in an ordinary civil action. Now, I don't think that means that it has to be the same, but exactly what it means is very hard to determine. And what we've decided is to give the Minister for Justice the power to make regulations, or we're suggesting the Minister should have the power to make regulations, which would set out bans for minor injuries, moderate injuries, severe injuries and the like, and leave it up to the Minister to decide what those amounts were. And that would make it flexible if the European Court in a future case gives more guidance or clarity about it, then that can be adjusted fairly quickly without having to go back to
So there would be statutory awards that would be set out
In a ministerial order, statutory instrument.
And you couldn't challenge those, so on appeal, could you, if you weren't satisfied with the 2,000 that you were awarded,
for example? We're providing for an internal appeal, a sort of a second tier within the statutory body. So if you're unhappy with the amount, you can appeal it. But if it clearly falls within the one of the particular bands, then there'd be very little room for an appeal.
Uh-huh. So will you need a lawyer then?
We're hoping that that in the vast majority of cases, the assistive chair will mean no one will need a lawyer. But we do accept there may be some cases for one of really two reasons. Firstly, the case may be complex. I would think the vast majority of cases won't be complex. You know, you're the victim of an unprovoked assault. You suffer an injury. The injuries are fairly clear. If you've been out of work, the loss of earnings are fairly clear. But there may be cases where there are complex legal issues and where a lawyer would be justified. But we would hope that would be a small minority, and that the very fact of the assistive tier should make that an even smaller minority.
And you also say that the compensation should be paid without delay, without waiting for the outcome of any criminal or civil proceedings. Now, how would that work?
Well, we do have a proviso to that, to say that there might be some cases where it might interfere with forthcoming legal proceedings, whether criminal or civil, and there is an option to delay. But one of the big complaints that came from our consultation with the victims' groups was that it's often quite a number of years, and you know, it depends on people's circumstances, but there are plenty of people who are the subject of violent crime who don't have great resources themselves, and you know, if you're out your wages today and this year,
you need
having to wait four years to get it is not really a good idea. And we think, therefore, the default position should be it should be done straight away, or as soon as the relevant materials can be collected and a fair decision
and
made.
It would be very progressive, wasn't it, to pay financial compensation for crimes like coercive control, for example. Do you imagine that that will fall under this statutory body?
Well, we are recommending it. I was very heartened that the Rape Crisis Centre last week issued a statement very much welcoming our proposed definition of what's a violent crime. I think we do need to recognise that the effect on victims of that kind of crime can be very severe psychological damage. And we feel that victims of that type should be compensated. Obviously, our recommendations, it's ultimately a matter for the government to decide whether to accept them. But we are strongly of the view that that wider definition of a violent crime is the right way to go.
So this thing now would have to be staffed and very specialised staff, given what you've described. Then you'd have all of these awards which would need to be made. And I suppose we could calculate, we could look at, say, 2024 or 2025, and we could get a sense, really, of how much compensation would be due based on what's happened in the past. Have you got a figure?
We don't really, for a number of reasons. Firstly, the level of compensation for pain and suffering, as lawyers tend to call it, is to be determined by the minister. So depending on where that's pitched, that can increase or decrease the total cost. Secondly, this is it's a sort of a known unknown. Before pain and suffering was removed from the system back in the 70s and the early 80s, when you could claim for the compensation for an injury, there were a lot more claims than there are now. Because you can imagine there could be plenty of people who suffer a violent crime who don't suffer any real financial loss. You're perhaps a pensioner, so your pension keeps getting paid. Your medical bills may be paid for on a medical card or whatever, so you don't suffer financial loss, but you could suffer significant physical injuries. There would have been no point that person bringing a claim at the moment, because the claim wouldn't be allowed. So there will be, I suspect, an increase in the total number of claims by increasing pain and suffering. But we have to do that anyway, because the European Court has said.
But ultimately, the state will pay the bill for this.
Yes, subject to one caveat. We are very much of the view that the primary payer should be the perpetrator of the crime, if that's possible.
Now, in many, and if he or she hasn't a shilling, it'll come back to the state.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's various technical provisions allowing the state to try and recover the money it's paid from the perpetrator, if that's possible. But as you say, there may be some. Well, firstly, the perpetrator mightn't even be identified. You know, a random attack. I know it's easier with CCTV around, but still there are cases where they aren't solved. And as you rightly say, there may well be many cases where the perpetrator will not be able to pay. So the state picks up the bill. But whether you think that's a good policy or a bad policy, the state has that obligation under European law.
But coming back to where we started, the state has to solve this problem. This is not a choice.
It's not a choice. Even if you felt it was a bad idea for the state to be
too
paying,
expensive, you know, an endless bill,
yeah,
which could be arguments and will be arguments made against this, you're saying you have to do it.
Yeah. The state has already, as I understand it, reading newspaper reports, the state has already had to pay significant compensation to the person who brought the Blanco case because the European Court held that the Irish system was inadequate. So that's just an example of the state has already been paying money. And there are, I believe, quite a number of other similar cases in the pipeline. So, you know, it'll either be the state paying damages awarded by a court for breach of European Union law, or this system, which I think will be in the long run cheaper than not doing anything about it.
But you are saying if you're a victim of a crime and you don't cooperate with the prosecuting authorities, you're not entitled to any compensation. Or if you were involved in any way with the crime that was committed, you're not entitled either.
You're not entitled, or you may have reduced compensation if you're sort of partly responsible. You're involved in a fight, it's as much your fault as the other guys, then you may get no compensation or you may get reduced compensation.
Mm-hmm. So where does this go from here?
As always with the Law Reform Commission, we would love it to be implemented, but it's a matter for government decision. I presume it's initially a matter for the Department of Justice to bring forward proposals to government. I suspect there will be a bit more urgency about this than in respect of many proposals the Law Reform Commission comes up, precisely because of the European law problem. You know, the state has to do something and it'll end up on the wrong end of a lot of litigation if it doesn't. So I suspect that's a major motivation to some decision being made in the relatively near future.
Okay, well, Frank Clark, thank you for coming in to tell us about it. That's the President of the Law Reform Commission. Many thanks to you.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.